You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
New research from the Child Poverty Action Group has shown families with children receiving benefits would require an estimated $110 a week on average to reach 50% of equalised median after housing costs income. These are the measures used by the government to measure the amount of children living in poverty, as in how much do families have after paying their rent or mortgage. Those families would also require an extra $215 to reach 60% of the same measure, meaning income support levels for the 2020 and 21 year are well below the government's own official poverty measures, even when recent benefit increases are included. I spoke to Janet McAllister, who was part of the research team, to find out more.
So we found that the benefit levels, even now with increases due to COVID, are much lower than New Zealand's key official poverty lines. So in other words, for most people, benefits aren't enough to live on, according to the government's own measure. Your benefit is usually, for families with children at least, could potentially only be about, it's only one of three main sources of income.
Yeah.
So you've got your core benefits, and then you've got your accommodation supplement, which is tied directly to how much you're spending on your housing. And also, if you've got children, there's also working for families. So there's three different sources of income from the government, and you have to... The formulas are really complex, which is why we did this indicative research for 12 different households, because the formulas are so complex it can be difficult to know what things actually mean for people unless you've got the little formula down. Now, it might be a little caveat to that is what we've done is we've modelled 12 indicative households. So it's not like we've surveyed hundreds of thousands of people. Our research is indicative in that we've taken what we think are relatively usual beneficiary households or households receiving benefits, and we've tried to work out what these increases that were announced in March mean for their weekly budget.
Like you say, that kind of measurement or that line used by the government, can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, sure. So actually the government has 10 different lines, and this makes sense because there are different ways of measuring poverty. So there's income poverty, which is what we're talking about here, and then there's also material hardship, which is what people are missing out on because they don't have enough income. So what we're looking at is the income that you have left over once you've paid for housing. As everybody knows, we've had a housing crisis for a number of years now. So while your income might look great when it comes into your bank account, the fact is that if you're having to spend a huge amount of that on rent or on your mortgage, then you have very little left over at the end of the day. It basically accounts for how much people are spending on housing. So we're looking at the disposable income after you've paid your housing and what that looks like compared to what a median income after housing costs would look like. The poverty lines the government uses for this are if you're at 40% of that median income for households like your own, so that's the number of people you've got, the number of adults and children, at 50% and 60%. So we're talking really small amounts here. So if you think of 100% being your median for New Zealand, so it's not even like it's a lot. It's just the middle. It's just the median, and we're saying that the government's key after housing costs line is the 50% line. So you've got half of what a median household would have.
So basically,
it's quite technical.
No, so I mean, what you're saying though is after people might have to pay rent or any other kind of living costs in that sense, there's not enough to live on.
Correct. Yeah.
What does that mean in the long run? Like, how is this? This goes week by week. If people don't have enough, or they might just have enough to put some food on the table, what does this mean in the long run?
In the long run, it's really cumulative, and it's very, very concerning. So it's particularly hard for couples, actually, because their benefits are taken as a double. So one of the things we'd be looking for is individualisation. So if you've got a couple with two children who are paying lower quartile rent, so they're not paying a lot of rent, and they're living in a two-bedroom house, so that's for four of them, they have, our research indicates that they are nearly $200 away from the 50% line every week. So that accumulates over a year, and it's thousands and thousands of dollars. And that means that, you know, maybe the first week or two, oh, I can borrow from family, or, you know, my mum can help me out, for example, let's say. And then what happens in the next weeks? Oh, we might go to a food bank. What happens in the next week? Oh, we go to high-interest loan sharks. So you just get deeper and deeper into poverty, and the longer you're there. And that means that it's difficult for you to do anything about your situation because you're so busy and stressed out just trying to survive.
And I suppose, I mean, the question also, I should say, it's not even necessarily a long-term question for some people because they are living week to week. So on a week-to-week basis, like you say, there are perhaps some options, but then those options become limited. So what happens when, you know, people, I suppose, it's just too much?
Well, I mean, a number of things can happen because of, as you say, the toxic stress that people are feeling. So it means that, for example, their children... So one thing that I think often people will be balancing out, we've seen this in the recent housing stats in terms of overcrowding, is one way you can try and save money is to have less rent. And so, therefore, you might be in a really overcrowded situation. Or you might not put the heating on over winter. So there are kids growing up in cold and overcrowded households, which means they're more likely to get sick, which means they're more likely to not be able to concentrate at school, which means that that job that's available when they're 15 or 16 looks much more attractive than staying at school, which means that they're not getting a good job. And we know that jobs are only good for people if they are financially secure and they're stable and they're meaningful. So that's where we get that long-term poverty trap, because people aren't given options. They're not given the wherewithal to be able to reach their full potential, and that's a problem not only for them but for all of us.
What does CPAG or Child Poverty Action Group suggest in terms of trying to deal with this?
Well, there are some really quick things that could happen. For example, the Working for Families entitlements that are given to all low-income families, there's a portion of that that is only available to you if you're working or if you're not on a benefit. So that means that there are our poorest children actually missing out on quite a chunk of money that other low-income families are given. So we would say give people more money. And it's not just advocacy groups like ourselves that are saying that. The Welfare Expert Advisory Group that was funded by the government a year or so ago and included business people and people who aren't necessarily the type of people you'd think would be pro-welfare, they also suggested that benefits or incomes for people on benefits needed to be raised by quite a considerable percentage. The other thing, as I mentioned before, is individualisation of benefits. So that means at the moment, say you lose your job and your partner still has one, unless they're on minimum wage for 4 days a week, you are entitled to no unemployment benefit, no job seeker. And we don't think that's fair. We don't think that's, for a start, it's very difficult for a couple to live on one minimum wage. But also, the couple rate's just not enough to live on, even less than a single rate is to live on.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or touch on?
Just that, as you've pointed out, this is a really long-term problem. We've changed a crisis into a chronic problem. It's getting worse and worse. The longer we leave it, the more expensive it will be to fix. And while COVID means that there will be more people in this situation, people have been in this situation and suffering for a very long time. And the research we've just done is on these slightly increased benefits, and it's still appallingly low. So I'm really concerned that we've got this opportunity to potentially change things. If we don't change it now, then we're creating more problems for ourselves down the track.
Mm. But this was something that was seen, I suppose, through that lockdown period, right? You had people or families who had never had to live perhaps on, you know, lesser weekly incomes. So you have a sort of a newer group that might not have experienced this. I think Sir Peter Gluckman called them the new vulnerable. So kind of, you know, you're adding to this number of people, but I suppose it was also shocking in that a lot of people were so shocked, I guess, at how difficult it is to live with that amount of money, and yet you've got families who have been doing this for years. Like you say, it's entrenched poverty.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that I'm worried that these families will be left out and forgotten. So, for example, it was much, much easier to get the wage subsidy from the Ministry of Social Development in those first couple of weeks than it was to get a food grant. So there were people who were going hungry because the prioritisation was on people who needed their wage subsidy, as they absolutely should. So I'm concerned that while it's shocking for people, even people who are having to look at going on receiving a benefit, that these are people who, because they've been working, often will have more wherewithal, will have more financial resources than people who have been doing it hard for a very long time. And so there are people there potentially going, look, this is really difficult, and I'm not sure how I'm going to make it through the next 6 months, but could potentially get help from friends or family or whatever. But there are a lot of people out there who don't have those unofficial sources of help, which are so needed because our welfare system's so poor. They don't have those, and so I'm worried about those people.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.